the implicit message which resounded here was that since we are white people and this is a white neighborhood, it's not right that this should be happening to us. And it seemed to me all the TV anchors, black and white, seemed to concur in that. It seems that if you're black, well, you should expect it. There are black folks. It happens in a black neighborhood. Therefore, who cares? And I think the bottom line message in all of this is that intrinsically, black life is has less worth than white life. You accept it as the norm if you're black, and it should not be happening to us if we're white, because by virtue of our whiteness, we should be safe.
Do you think this will have any backlash because of the way it was reported after the fact?
Well, I think the backlash would have come more from a knee-jerk reaction by the cops. They did not do any sort of blanket pulling every black male in who was, you know, within 3 miles of Northridge that day, as was the case in the Boston allegations. So I think the cops probably did a better job, certainly a better job than was done in Boston. But I think the media are to be faulted. I would ask listeners this question. Do any of them know who Michael Drain is? And I suspect very few people who are listening to this would know who Michael Drain is. But Michael Drain is a 30-year-old black man who was the unintended murder victim in a shootout, an accidental victim in a gang shootout that took place 2 days after the Anderson stabbings. None of us heard, and more important, none of us cared about Michael Drain. He wasn't a white blonde lady from Cedarburg.
Is this typical of the media?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We value some people more than we value other people. I think the foremost valuation is a function of race. Then it comes down to this thing called upstandingness.
How can, as journalists, how can we check ourselves? I mean, how do we check ourselves?
Well, I think at the point where the newsroom decides we'll put four reporters on this because they're a white couple. And ask themselves, the last black shooting that came down, did we put four reporters on this? Did we go around and hear from, did we interview their black colleagues, their black friends, their black co-workers to find out how they reacted to it? If we didn't do that with black folks, should we be doing it with white folks? And if we do it with white folks, why don't we do it with black folks?
What do you think is going through the minds of some of these journalist, and I would have to say particularly broadcast journalist, from what I could see of the reporting of this story, that reported, I saw reports of the journalists were saying this community that thought it was sheltered from inner city and gang influences has been struck down, blah, blah, blah. What do you think that'll change?
No.
You know, what are these reporters thinking today?
I think what the reporters are thinking today is 24 hours of guilt. And I think if something similar happened a month from now, where a fine, white, upstanding, young, white, preferably blonde, femaled couple is murdered, we will have the same reaction. It should not be happening to fine, upstanding, blonde, white people. It's okay and acceptable if it happens to black people.
Dave, from what you've been saying, I'm getting the sense that this incident is just an example of how a large part, or maybe that's not even fair, but part of our society is still very racist, and that ideology is perpetuated by the popular media.
I think racism is the overriding reality of America historically and contemporaneously. If anybody remembers reading last Friday's Sentinel, the lead story is about what a hot phenomenon a Mark Belling has become. That somebody who preaches that kind of vitriolic, racist message can become the hottest thing in Milwaukee media, and I think worse, that we treat him kind of as a cute phenomenon, says worlds about where we've come in racial relations in this country.